Chevra, always a schus to be together. To prepare for the Heilige Shabbos Kodesh, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayigash. What a special parsha, we'll get to that in a few moments. But to be together tonight, specifically, Asar B'Teves. Because even though we start fasting tomorrow, Asar B'Teves is now, right now. We forget that with these fast days. You know, when it comes to Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, so already in the night, we feel the day. We connect, and we're Mekusher. Ve'er ve'evoker Yom Echad. The day starts at night. Right? We're very used to that. Shabbos. But every day starts at night. Ma'ariv's the next day is Tefillah. So that means right now, it's already Asar B'Teves, obviously. So all the koichas, all the shefa, all what Asar B'Teves stands for is already with us right now. I just want to say before we begin anything that all the Torah tonight, all the chizik, all the siris, should be little nishmas, a very big tzaddik, someone we've spoken about already many times over the last few weeks. Binyamin Erli, Zeches Adchash Verachab, Binyamin Meir, Ben Zev David, Zatzal, Kaddish Dika Yid, who gave his life for each and every one of us, who gave his life for Eretz Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, at the age of 21. If you didn't, this past Sunday was the Shloshim. It's Kedai. I don't know if some of you maybe did, some of you didn't, but it's Kedai to watch. At least, it's long, it's 2 hours long. They had a beautiful kumzitz with Shlomo Katz in their shul, the family, in the early family. And Mishkan Shiloh, right next to Leva Torah, mm-hmm. right next to Yeshiva. Mamish right next door, if yeah, whoever knows over there. Mm-hmm. Which is right around the... Which is right around the corner from their house. And I was in the shul. I was in the shul when I spent time with them, and the Chat Mincha right afterwards, that's where Rob Early told me to go. I didn't even realize when I was there how close I was to Lev, and I've been in Lev many, many times, but it's like around the corner, whatever it was. And so it was Binyamin's Shloshim, and they had this beautiful, beautiful kumzitz with Shlomo Katz, hundreds of people in the shul, and both Jen and Rob, they both spoke, Binyamin's parents, and it's good I had to listen to both of them. It's mamish chizik for a lifetime. I showed every one of my shiurim this week in DRS. I myself have watched it about probably at least 5-6 times because I watched it myself. I showed it to my wife, showed it to my Gemara shiur, showed it to two halacha shiurim. So much chizik, so much thesaurus. I could tell it over, but I think it's better that you hear it from his parents and hear who he was. You should go, it's on YouTube. You could open Yom Erli Shloshim, you'll see it's there. And it's beautiful singing. Obviously, it's different when you're a part of the singing. I told Jen, his mother, I wish I could have been there, Mamasha. But at least to watch the speeches and to listen and to learn from such a tzaddik. So all the Torah, the chizik, should be Leil Nishmas, Binyamin Meir, Ben Zavdav, Zichzal Chesh Vracha. So as we said, we're in a very special time right now. You have to know, a fast day is not just a fast day. A fast day is not just a day not to eat and not to drink. And of course, to remember Churban, and maybe now this fast day more than ever. We all know, I think we all know, it's been said over, it's like the famous Torah of Asar B'Teves, how Abudraham brings down that Asar B'Teves, if it would have fallen out on Shabbos, we'd even fast on Shabbos. The only fast day, Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, Doiche, we push it off, right? No one here ever fasted Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Obviously Yom Kippur you fast on Shabbos. Yom Kippur is the Raisa. Yom Kippur is a whole different world. Yom Kippur is a whole different world. Yom Kippur, every fast day pales in comparison to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's on a pedestal alone. It's the only fast day that's a deraisa. But even Tisha B'Av, which has the stringencies similar to Yom Kippur in ways, starts the night before all the Yinuim, we wouldn't fast on Shabbos. If Asar B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, now it can't, based on our calendar. But if it would, we fast even on Shabbos. And the famous Torah of the Chassam Sofer, which I think this year more than ever is so much something we have to chazer, and that is that, yes, why is that? So we know there's a Tainus Yachid that we would fast on Shabbos. What's the Tainus Yachid we fast on Shabbos? Tainus Chalom. Most of us don't do this because we find out and we look for good in it and we go to speak to a Chacham maybe, but If you have a terrible dream, a nightmare that you're so nervous about, because the dream is 1/60th of Nevuah, so you'd fast even on Shabbos. Why? Why the difference? Why Tisha B'Av I wouldn't fast on Shabbos? And why Tzum Gedalia and Shavuos B'Tamuz I wouldn't fast on Shabbos? And Tainus Esther I wouldn't fast on Shabbos, but a Tainus Chalom you fast on Shabbos, and therefore Asar B'Tavis you fast on Shabbos. A Tainus Chalom, when you have a Tainus Chalom and you have this nightmare and you're afraid that maybe it's telling me something about my future, immediately I have to do the tshuva, I have to connect, I have to daven that that shouldn't happen, that I should prevent that from happening. It's within my hands. A tainus that's commemorating the past, a Shabbos Kodesh, I'm not going to, I can wait to fast. I can wait to fast. But if it's something to prevent the future, I have to do it immediately. I can't wait. Chas v'shalom l'olenu, it could happen. So too, Chassam Sofer explains, Asar B'Teva, what happened? Asar B'Teva is our enemies surrounded Yerushalayim, was the beginning of Churban. Chassam Sofer explains that therefore every single year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding today, tonight, tomorrow. Is this year going to be a year of Churban? Another Haskalas Churban? Because Kol Darshul Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'Yom Vki L'Nechrav. Every generation that we don't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, if we destroyed it. Arya Kohn's had a part in destroying 40... How old am I? 44? I'm turned 44 already. Am I 43 or 44? 43? No, I turned 44 this year. You know what? I don't even know. I turned 44. Yeah, right, Momo, yeah?
I don't know.
Baruch Hashem. No, you ages doesn't matter anymore. Lemaisa.
In your prime.
Four, thank you, it's beautiful. 44. 44, Beis HaMikdash. MS, and I have to do tshuva, I have to work on myself. What, every year that begins, Asar B'Teves. Hashem is deciding to put the wheels in motion. Is this going to be a year of Churban? Or a year... David. Or you have Gula. Bring the chair up here. Or you have Gula. That starts right now. So if this is the Haskalah of it all, I want to prevent, I want to be metakin that this upcoming year should be Gula. I have to fast right away. I can't wait. I can't wait for it to start and then I'm already trying to fix the past. It's like a Tainus Chalom. It's on the future. Now there's no question, unfortunately, this past year was a year of Churban. If you look at the years, Asar B'Teves beginning the year of Geula or Churban, the way the Chassam Sofer is looking at it, this past year has been a year of Churban more than any year in our lives. Hashem decided last Asar B'Teves, not a good year, unfortunately. But L'Sfi Chassam Sofer, today, tonight, is a very big hope. Because hopefully that's all going to be turned around. V'nehapach, v'yagun l'simcha, me'fei l'leira, m'shiba l'geula. Big Geula, big Geula. And it's within us. It's within the Torah we're learning right now, tonight. It's within the tefillahs we're going to still daven tonight and tomorrow. We've got to take this upon ourselves in a very serious, real way, this Asar B'Teves. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, going into Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba, that we're entering into Gula. And we have to believe that and hope for it. Remember, this all started Keherifayim. This all started Keherifayim. No one could have imagined their wildest dreams, wildest nightmares, when we were... You know, together, a lot of us, Hoshana Rabbitish, that by the time, you know, wake up a day later, Mamish, you know, bring over here. So no one could have imagined it all, Karafai, and the world was turned upside down. And we're still suffering tremendously. My sister's in Eretz Yisrael now, sending pictures and videos and different... She was today, she was, you know, where she was this morning, she was... By the music festival, by the Nova Music Festival. And going around and seeing and with, together with family members that were going and visiting that spot. She was together with two brothers who went to be in the Makom where their brother was murdered. And the two brothers were telling her how they were there with the brother. They survived. They were there. And they jumped in their car and was running. And the brother was with them. And they said, get in there, get in there. And he said, no, I got to go help my friends. I got to go get my friends. I can't come. I got to go get my friends. Kobe's right there, Jay. Right, I got to get my friends. And he went back to get his friends. And he was killed. Churban. But Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves. It's all Nepach, Bezo Hashem, through our tefillahs. We have to believe in that. That we have this ability. And like it started, like I said, Keharafayin. This all started, mamish. Keharafayin, it was all, the world was turned upside down. The same Keharafayin. If in one day the world was turned down, upside down, the one day could all be turned back. Miyagon l'simcha. We got to believe in that, and hopefully this day, Bez Hashem is Baruch. We always say here, we said it here hundreds of times probably over the years. We've said it here hundreds of times. From the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zei Chazal, Lekhid of Racha, that you have to live with the parasha. There's no question, if we have a Sar B'Tevis Erev Shabbos Kodesh going into Parshas Vayigash, that we have to live with the parasha, and Parshas Vayigash is giving us some of the keys to Geula. I believe it deeply. You know, Parshas Vayigash is like the most emotional parasha in the whole Torah. Most of them, you think about the moments in Parshas Vayigash. You think about the moment. I don't know if I need to get, you know, you certainly could bring me just a Bereshis, any Bereshis. If you get my big one, I like if you could, but if not, any of them. You know where I like to use the big ones, Chever, right? I've told you the Chever before? No? You know the big chumashim I usually have out, the big red. We'll see if you bring the big red, but the big red grossdolos. You know why I got those and why I like to use those, especially Thursday night when we have this shiur, because that's what my Rebbe Rav Nosson Tzvi used to use. Rav Nosson Tzvi had those chumashim. I don't know who has them today. I wish that would be the most special thing in the world. Those were the chumashim when he gave the most mamish. My life was changed going to him. It was the shmooze he gave Erev Shabbos Kodesh in his house that I used to go to every week. Yeah, here they are. Just the beautiful shkoyach. He used these chumashim. This is what he used to use. These chumashim. So I had to get those chumashim to use the same chumashim. And I always think of our time together a little bit like that time because it was in his house at his dining room table. This is how we used to learn by him. So I have to, these are the chumashim. And these emotional, incredible moments. Imagine the moment in time when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, and Yosef Od Avichai. How incredible that moment was. How full of emotion that moment was. His brothers, the last they saw him, they sold him to Arabs after throwing him in a pit. And now he's still alive. He's not just still alive. In their wildest dreams, they couldn't believe he's a Mishnah Lamelech. And then that moment when Yaakov and Yosef reunite. Yaakov, his whole life, he wants to marry Rachel Imenu. And then and it's switched on him. And eventually he marries Rachel Imenu. And he has to work for years and years. And then Rachel Imenu is suffering with fertility issues for years and years and years. And he's having children from Leah and children from Bilhah and Zilpah. And finally he has a Yosef Tzadik. And he loves him dearly. And he's learning with him. He's Ben Zakunim Lo. And he makes him the Ksoinis Possum. And he has him for a grand total of 17 years. And then he's told he's killed. He refuses to be comforted for 22 years. He mourns him. And now with that moment of being reunited, what a moment in time. Has there been a more emotional moment in all history than that? Has there been? I mean, so Mirza Shem, you know, if you've been paying attention, I'm sure you've seen in people's, I don't know, Chvesnish, whatever, way you see things in the news or with people like in Twitter or whatever, it's, and all these type of things, and people throwing out these ideas, and beautiful, if you live with the parasha, literally every week since October 7th, the parasha somehow deeply connects to what's going on with Klal Yisrael, with Eretz Yisrael, but that's always the way it is. It's not a chiddush right now. If you pay attention, you have the eyes to see it. Of course, the parasha is living with our times. But hopefully, we hope, right? Really, if you understand, so Shabbos is the Hakdama for the week. Shabbos is all the Ruchnius and Kedusha of the upcoming week. Remember, we learned this together before Yichas and Tzadik, right? So Lamaisa, if this Shabbos is all about these incredible reunions that for years people couldn't have dreamed of, perhaps, I'm hoping, I'm davening, this is going to be a week of big reunions. Big reunions that maybe people weren't seeing coming their way. You know, we need about 140 reunions. And maybe even bigger reunions with Tchias HaMeisim. And we need reunions with all the Chayalim back with their mishpachos, back with their wives and children. We need all the reunions. And hopefully it'll be this week, Baruch Hashem. And don't think it can. You see the wars happening, it's being stretched on, and we're like, where are we? And we're already 75 days in, and still you know, we don't see an end in sight, but the end could be Karavayim. It could all end this week. L'toiv, l'simcha. We got to believe it. Bez Hashem, let's daven for it. Hasar B'tavis, that's what the day is for. Mm-hmm. Make sure, you know, not just fast tomorrow. We all going to fast. It's the shortest fast. It's not a big deal. Okay, going to Shabbos. Let's be real. Baruch Hashem, we're B'liyan Haru. We're young, healthy people. You know, people make these big deals. It's like, you know, it's basically missing one on a Friday. How much, you know, like, come on. It's not it. Make sure you daven more. Make sure you take tefillah tomorrow, the slichos and the davening, and daven for Eretz Yisrael, and daven for Klal Yisrael on this day. It's supposed to be day of more. There's a reason why other fast days, if it's pushed back to Friday, we push back to Thursday, like Tainas Esther, because it's supposed to be more slichos and more davening, so you don't have time to prepare for Shabbos properly. So let's daven. Let's daven. Let's really daven. Daven for Eretz Yisrael, daven for Klal Yisrael, daven for all the chayalim, for all the hostages, for every single yid that needs us to daven for him. For ourselves, if we really realize there's so much to daven for, let's daven. But again, the parasha, we have to live with the parasha. So the parasha opens up just the very beginning, before we get into any of those incredible reunions. The parasha opens up with something that I think is extremely powerful. Most of the Torah tonight is based on a Torah from Rabbi Amari, the Shvil Pinchas Shlita. Somehow, I don't know, Shvil Pinchas Parshas VeYigash, so many years, it's like of the most incredible Torahs I've seen in my life. I don't know if the Chevra remembers, a few years ago, I don't know if any of the Chevra was here back in those days, we said this Torah was such incredible calculations of the money and the what he gave the brothers and Binyamin and whatever. Okay. Ayin Sham, it's online somewhere, I don't know which year, I'll try to find it, but it might have been many years ago, I don't remember the years. But this is up there. You know, sometimes there's different type of Torahs, and there's Torahs where where you go to a shir, you go to shir and the Rav is talking Torah of his heart, and a lot of Musr, a lot of Chizuk, a lot of Torahs through stories and through Lev. The Torahs, I believe tonight, the Torahs will talk for themselves. It's like, Mamish, I learned through this, I was like, I haven't stopped. It's changed a lot of my tefillos and changed a lot of my thoughts, and Mamish, very, very special. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Vayomer bi Adoni. Yedaber no avdecha daver bazne Adoni. Yehuda goes and meets up with Yosef HaTzadik. Says, please let me speak to you. Let me speak into your ears. Don't be angry with your servant. There's this incredible initial meeting between Yehuda and Yosef HaTzadik. A meeting, really, if you understand that meeting, who's Yehuda? Yehuda's the Melech. Yehuda's the Melech. Yehuda's David HaMelech. Yehuda's Malchus. And who's Yosef at the time? The Melech. It's these two major kings meeting up. A tremendous meeting in time. The Medrash says on that meeting, Ra'adach Azasam Sham. There was this incredible tremble and emotion that grabbed onto them there. Who were the Elu Ashvatim? Amru Malachim Midainim Elu Im Elu Anu Ma'ichpas Lanu Ya'elu Melech Midayanim Melech. The Shvatim understood something grand is happening here. They were trembling in awe of this meeting. And they said these two kings are discussing, are in some sort of talks. We have no place here. This is too big. Something big. The Medrash is saying something big is happening here. Something big is happening. And it's interesting. What happened? What happens a little bit later in the parasha? Just to set this up a little bit. A little bit later in the parasha, after already Yosef reveals himself and the brother, and they go back and, you know, Yaakovinu finds out, Od Yosef Chai. So they're traveling down to Mitzrayim. And so we have Klal Yisrael traveling down to Mitzrayim. Now, Klal Yisrael at the time was not a major nation, right? We're talking about 70 people. But on the way down, what happens? They're all coming down. Yaakov and all his children and grandchildren. Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefanav El Yosef. Again, who needs to meet up with Yosef first? Again, Yehuda. Another, we see another meeting of Yehuda and Yosef. Another meeting of Yehuda. Constantly we find here, by Yashay love Yehuda, that's Yehuda Shalach Afanav. First, it's Yehuda on his own. Now it's Yaakov for some reason. Yaakovinu is sending Yehuda, no, go back to Yosef. You, before any of us, there's something, Yaakov saying, you need to be with Yosef. Of course, we know it was to set up Bati Midrashos, as Rashi tells us from the Medrash, but you need to be with Yosef. Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef. It's not just, by the way, realize that, even with that pshat that we all know that he was setting up Bati Midrashos, so Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, Lahoral Lefanav, El Yosef doesn't, is, it seems to be unimportant, right? What, I mean, why is he, go to Goshen to set up Bati Midrashos, what El Yosef? I mean, you could say Yosef's going to be the one that's going to help, but ultimately, there's no. Yaakov's saying, go to Yosef. Yehuda needs to be with Yosef. So we have to understand what's happening here. What is the constant in the parasha and something that the Medrash is telling us is awesome happening with the meeting between Yehuda and Yosef specifically? And then just one side question, because it's just a Pella. I mentioned this, but in a whole different light, in a shiur I gave to women, last Matzei Shabbos, some of the chevra listened, but the medrash on these words, in medrash on Chumah, Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, out of left field, out of Mayin Yishmita Tzar Sinai, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Emasai Mevarchin Al Haner B'Motzei Shabbos. Somehow, Yehuda coming to meet Yosef connects to the candle of Matzei Shabbos. Havdalah of Matzei Shabbos. But not just Havdalah. And discussing the bracha of Matzei Shabbos, and when to make the bracha, before you benefit from, you know, the famous machlokus in this, should you make the bracha and then benefit from the light, or should you benefit from the light and then make the bracha? That's what's being discussed about the candle of Matzei Shabbos. What does that have anything to do with Yehuda and Yosef? So listen, Chavra. Follow, Chavra, we're going to learn something so deep and so beautiful. We all know, from the beginning of time, mamish from the beginning of time, it was already written into the world. It was already orchestrated that part of world history was going to be Dalet Galios. Part of world history was going to be Dalet Galios. Part of the journey of the Jewish nation was that in order to grow into who we are, in order to become who we are, in order to have maybe the achdus that we have, to be as refined as we are, to have our connection to the Eibishter the way we're supposed to, we're going to go through various galios, exiles. It's part of our history. That's why I don't know why people have such like, again, it's terrible, our hearts, we should be feeling and not stop crying on one level for what's going on. But when people like tell me, they're like so surprised of the anti-Semitism, taken aback of the anti-Semitism. Esav sones Yaakov. I'm part of the world. We're still in Gullis. What did you think? We're not in Gullis. Is there a base of Migdash on top of our bias? There's a mosque on top of our bias. That's not bothering you? It's a chiddush that people hate us? There's no chiddush here. It's been throughout our history. I'm not saying we should enjoy it. I'm not saying it's easy to feel and to hear and to see. But it shouldn't be surprising in certain levels. It's part of the world. And the Medrash, or his very famous Medrash, tells us on of the first words of the Torah, V'ara toysa sovavo. What sovavo? Zeg gulas? Bavel. There's going to be a Bavel. That's Toyhu. Toyhu zugalf ba'o. V'vayu. Zegals Madai. V'choyshech. Famous, we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. Zegals Yavon. Alpnei Tahom is Edom. We have the four Galios. The Galios of Galios of Madai, the Galios of Yavon, the Galios of Edom, Dal Galios. Bavel. And that's part of the world. And the avodah of our lives, the mission of us as a Jewish nation, is to get to a point of gula from all Dalet Galios. And Dalet Galios are part of our personal galus as well. Even if Baruch Hashem, we're living in places where we don't have persecution. We have spiritual persecution. We're constantly bombarded, each and every one of us, by the culture of society, by the outside world, by what we see, by what we listen to. That's part of galus. There's physical galus, there's spiritual galus. And this is all part of the Dali Galus, of Bavel, of Madai, of Yavon, of Eid, of Edom. The avodah is to get to a point beyond it. In the Megala Muko says, at the beginning of Shema Esra, we already alluded to this. What do we say? Umevi goyel of Nevin Ayam. Laman Shemo Biava, right? The end of Berchav, right at the beginning of Shema Esra. Umevi goyel of Nevin Ayam. So he says, Umevi goyel? It should have been goyel. It could have just said, Vegoyel of Nevin Ayam. Umevi goyel. Mevi goyel means I'll bring a redeemer for my children. Say, Vegoyel b'neim. I'll redeem my children. What do you mean? I'll bring a redeemer. I'm going to redeem them. You know, to Mevi Goyel, Mevi, Rashi Tevos, Madai, Bavel, Yavon, Edom. Every Shemona Esrei, when you see those words, you could focus and understand. We want Geula from all Dalet Galus. And that's what we're in the final Galus. We're in that final Galus, Galus Edom. We want, but that's the culmination of all Dalet Galus. Now listen, Chavra. The Arizal already asked, what about Galus Mitzrayim? Why Dalet Galus? It should be Hey Galus. Galus Mitzrayim is of the biggest exiles of our history. Galus Mitzrayim, we went down to, we were refined, we're there for, supposed to be 400 years, 210 years. We go, Yitzias Mitzrayim, we celebrate Pesach. Seemingly, we celebrate this Yitzias from this tremendous Galus. So the Arizal says Mitzrayim was koilal all the other dalet. In Mitzrayim was so powerful, it incorporated, embodied all dalet galus. And that's what we say, the Eilesh Shmos B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayimah. Right at the beginning, right at the beginning of Shmos, when we went down to Mitzrayim, Habayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of B'nei Yisrael, Habayim Mitzrayim. But Habayim seems to be they're still coming. It's the wrong tense even. It should be Ba'u, Habayim Mitzrayimah, like in the present tense. Ba'im, Bavel, Edom, Yavon, Mitzrayim. Say Moshe Yosef Mevi, right? Just mixed up. Bavel, Edom, Yavon, Mitzrayim. Madai. To allude that we're going into all Dalet Galus. And in fact, Bnei Yisachar said that's the Dalet Kosos, and that's the Dalet Shonas Gula. Everybody knows, Dalet Kosos, we drink at the Seder, we have four cups of wine. Why do we have four cups of wine? Because we have four languages of Gula. Right? V'lakachti, v'galti, v'talti. We have four languages of Tzesi. We have four languages of Gula. So everyone knows that. Everybody here knows that. Everyone, if I would have asked anyone, why do you have Dalet Kosos? Dalet Shonas Gula. You ever think about it? But why do you have Dalet Shonas Gula? Why are there Dalet Lashonas Gula? Why are there four different languages of Gula? So let there be one language of Gula. Dalet Kosos, we know they're Bonon and are patterned after the Dalet Lashonas Gula. But why are there Dalet Lashonas Gula? Exactly what Bnei Yisachar says. Because if we understand, like the Arizal says, that Mitzrayim was Koilel, the all Dalet Galus, so we have four Lashonas Gula, because really we're getting out of all, that was already the paradigm and setting the stage to have Gula from all of the Dalet Galus. Now who's the one that's going to finally be the koyach to take us fully out of all the galus, which we're waiting for? We're waiting for all Dalet Galus to finally be, and now more than ever, how badly do we want Geula? You know, a boy in high school, a teenager asked me today, a junior in high school, he asked me today, Rebbe, how do we really yearn for the Beis HaMikdash? He meant it. I want to know, how do we yearn for the Beis HaMikdash? Imagine, this is what he asked me today. In a class today, in front of the whole chevra, very normal, cool young men. And I said to him, you know, I really get it. It's hard. You know why it's hard? There's a famous story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichus Tzadik Shevrachov. And he came to America from Europe one time. He was somewhere and they wanted to give him ice cream. Kosher, Chal Yisrael. He says, no, I don't want ice cream. He says, why not? He's like, I've never had ice cream. In Europe, they didn't have kosher ice cream.
He
says, it's delicious, you'll love it. He says, exactly. He's like, I don't want a new taiva for myself. If I never taste it, I don't know what I'm missing. I don't have a temptation for it. If I taste it, I'm going to like it. What do I want to build a new taiva for myself? I don't want more taivas in this world. I don't want more taivas in this world. You don't have a taiva for something you never tasted. You don't know what it is. So it's very hard to really daven for the Beis HaMikdash. Because none of us were ever in the Beis HaMikdash. None of us truly, deeply understand what the Beis HaMikdash was and will be. We were never there by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We might have been by Rav Matl Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but we were never in the Beis HaMikdash Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That the Gemara says you've never seen Simcha in your life if you haven't been there. And we were never there being Makter Ketoris and Karbanos and being Oyla Regel. We were never there. We don't know what any of this means. So you're going to yearn for it? Really, as my Rebbe Reb Lachman used to say, like, you're really yearning for some nasal Levites singing and some priests walking around barefoot with blood dripping everywhere. Like, we don't even know what it is. We don't know what it is. So that's Emes. But you know what? I know what it means for somebody who's sick to get better. And I know what it means that I'm mourning the death of 1,200 brothers and sisters and another 110 since Chayalim. I know the pain and the suffering that we're feeling over the last 3 months. I know the pain and the suffering somewhat of, I don't know, I mean, I could try to at least feel with families that have lost their children, their husbands, their fathers who are fighting on our behalf. I know what it is. I'm not surprised by it, but I know what it is to see a world that hates us and to have Talmidim of mine not feel comfortable in the colleges that they're in. I know what that all is. So maybe I don't know what Beis HaMikdash is, but I know, or I can at least taste and yearn for all this to come to an end and have shalom and have simcha and have no more pain and suffering in the way that we felt and no more families have to go through. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. So we want, and the end of that is the end of all Dalet Galios. That's what we're waiting for. No more Galus. Let's be real. How many Jews are going to understand the difference between Mada, Yavon, Edom, Bavel? The end of it all. So you know, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Pei Ches, the Gemara tells us, we've quoted this Gemara before, but there's a morale on this Gemara. Quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya, "V'holchu amim rabim v'amru l'chu v'nala al har Hashem, el beis Elokei Yaakov." We're going to go up to the mount of Hashem, to the house of Elokei Yaakov. So Gemara asks, "Elokei Yaakov v'lo Elokei Avram v'Yitzchak?" We're going to go to the Beis Mikdash of Yaakov and not Avram Yitzchak. So Gemara says, "Eloka Avram shekasu bohar," not like Avram that called that makom har. "V'loki Yitzchak shekasu b'sada." And not like Yitzchok, they called it Tzada. I'm going quickly through it. He quotes the Pesukim. Eliki Yaakov. We're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash of Yaakov. Shekaru Bayis, they called it a Bayis. V'yikr Shem HaKum Wu Beis Kel. The Maral in Avos, in Derech Chaim. In the fifth parak, he says, based on that Gemara, that we see that there's a higher level of Beis HaMikdash, of Yaakov Avinu, of Abayas. Truth is, I'm not mistaken, the Marsha says this as well. I just realized saying it over. I remember seeing this in Marsha over here on the Daf, in Pesachim. If I'm not mistaken, I have to look it up. But definitely the Maral says this. That the first Beis HaMikdash is Keneged Avram. And the second Beis HaMikdash is Keneged Yitzchak. And the third Beis HaMikdash, Bezer Hashem Bimheir B'Yameinu B'Kar of Mamish, is in the schus of Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu, therefore, Yaakov Avinu is the one that's charged with the mission of bringing the ultimate Geula. And now we understand why in next week's parsha, we know famously he wants that Yaakov wants to be Megalus Akeitz. He wants to reveal the end because he's the one that's supposed to bring the end. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv be'eretz Kanan. Which is where we're supposed to all be settled, right? In Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov, Yavon, Be'eretz, Bavel, Megure, Madai, Aviv, Edom, Rashi Tevos, Yaakov, Be'eretz, Megure, Aviv. Again, the Geula of the Dal Golios. That's the Avoda. And who are the descendants? Chaver, listen to this. Mamish, you're going to follow. Who are the descendants of Yaakov that are going to be the ones that are mostly charged with that? It's through Yaakov, but through who? Yehuda and Yosef. Yehuda and Yosef. Why Yehuda and Yosef? Because we're going to have a Mashiach ben David, a Mashiach ben Yosef. Yehuda and Yosef are the ones that are the forefathers of Mashiach. Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. So you know what this meeting, Chaver, now you hear, you know what this meeting, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, of Yehuda meeting up with Yosef, of Yaakov saying, that's Yehuda Shalach Lefanov, El Yosef. Get together and bring the Mashiach already. Get together and have the end of all Dal Golios. Yosef, who's Yosef incorporate? Yosef is Yosef and Binyamin on some level, because those are the two sons of Rachel, which is the Iker wife of Yaakov. And who does Yosef have that are lifted up to a level like Shvatim? Menashe and Ephraim. So who are the four people that incorporate Yosef as Tzaddik? Yosef, Binyamin, Menashe, Ephraim. Rashi Tevos, Yavon, Yosef, Binyamin, Bavel, Menashe, Madai, Ephraim, Edom. You can't make this up. Just watch, right? Just remember all the Ramazim we've said tonight. Mevi Goyel, Habayim Mitzrayim, Yosef, Binyamin, Menashe, Ephraim. So from Yosef, he's going to bring the Dal Golios to Gula. Mashiach ben Yosef. What's Yehuda? Yehuda, in the name of Yehuda, is Shem Havaya, right? Yud Hei Vav, okay. The Arizal already says that the Dal Golios are also connected, Yud Kei Vav, okay. He said, I forget offhand which is which. But he says, the Dal Golios are also connected, Yud Kei Vav, okay. So what's Yehuda? Yehuda's Yud Kei Vav, okay. And what's left? Dalad. Meaning, I'm going to bring Gula of the Dal Golios of Yudke Vavke. So Yosef is Yosef Binyamin, Menashe Ephraim, Yavon, Bavel, Madai, Edom. Yehuda are also Yudke Vavke, the Dal Golios and the Dalid. And that's the whole Avodah. So that's what Yaakov is trying to do. But Yeshev, Yaakov, Beret Megurei Aviv, Yaakov, Beret Megurei Aviv, Yavon, Bavel, Madai, Edom. So what does he do? That's Yehuda, Shalach, Lefanav, El Yosef, Lefanav, Goishna. I'm sending Yehuda, go back to Yosef. It's your time. Because I want the Gula to come. Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. Go, and where does he go? Goishna. Why is that even brought in here? Just say, Yehuda shalach lefanav Yosef, lahorot lefanav. Goishna, that happens to be where Yosef sends them. You know why Goishna? Gimel shin nun hey, what's gematria Goishna? Nobody. What's the gematria Goishna? 358. Exactly, Gematria, Mashiach. Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef. That's Yehuda, Shalach Lefanav, El Yosef. Yehuda, Melech, Mashiach ben David. Go to Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef. Lahorot Lefanav. To bring the ultimate Horah of what? Of Goshna, of Mashiach. Come on, Chaver, you should know Goshen's Mashiach. Why should you know the Bnei Sasser you're referring to? Is because the Oisios and the Dreidel are the same Oisios as Goshen, Nin, Gimel, Hay, and Shin, which is Gematria Mashiach. That's what Momo was talking about. To bring Mashiach. So now we can understand as well the Medrash Tanchuma. Now we can understand the Medrash Tanchuma as well. The Medrash Tanchuma said what? That Motzei Shabbos, somehow the meeting of that Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, which now we're saying is a meeting, and Yehuda and Yosef meeting up to bring Mashiach. So suddenly, Medrash Tanchuma, out of nowhere, we have to deal with the candle of Motzei Shabbos. Now, what do we know about Shabbos? And maybe this explains on a deeper level why Shabbos is so kadosh. Why how much we look so forward to Shabbos, Chevra. How much every week? Some of the Chevra I know had tests this week and studying this week, even more than usual. How much are you looking forward to Shabbos Kodesh? Where this could be out of... I never, for the life of me, obviously it's a halacha and nobody is allowed to study secular studies on Shabbos. It's It's halacha, but we're not going to get into halacha right now. How would you ever want to study secular studies on Shabbos and give up, basically give up Shabbos? Are you out of your mind? Whenever I'm asked that shaila by people, I'm like, I don't have to answer. I'm like, I'm not going to answer you on a halachic level. I'll just answer you, are you out of your mind? No, something, you're missing the whole boat of life. You're asking a shaila that you want to give up Shabbos? You're out of your mind? All of it's not worth it. Whatever you're going to gain from that, not worth it. Like, the only time you ever give up Shabbos is Pikuach Nefesh. Zehu. Otherwise, it's Shabbos Kodesh. That trumps everything. Shabbos Kodesh. How excited are we for Shabbos? The Kedusha Shabbos. You know what Shabbos is? Shabbos is everything to us. Shabbos is everything to us. That's why I say it all the time. The Chavrut knows. I'm telling you, still, not a week goes by I don't think about this. When I see some members of the Umas Olam, and Mamish, I'm not a racist. I love all people. I really do. I'm Emes. And I'm not just saying that. They're wonderful people. But for the Umas Olam, I feel so bad for them. And Mamish, at times I feel so bad. Like, how do you live? How do you enjoy this world? You don't have Shabbos. You don't have Shabbos, and you're what do you have in this world? You have nothing. Imagine having a world without Shabbos. It's so sad to me when I have Talmidim that I know are not yet keeping Shabbos and are on their phones on Shabbos. And it's like, it's not, obviously I cry for the Rabbonu Shalom and cry for Yiddishkeit, but like, I cry for them. They're missing the whole boat of life. Like, it means you don't understand one drop of enjoyment of life. So sad. Shabbos Kodesh. Now, maybe what I'm about to say might explain on a deeper level why it's so Kodesh to us, why it's so special. You know, Shabbos, I was just remembering a story, maybe something. I remember years ago, I've shared the story before, but it's the reason I was thinking about the story this week. My first summer, I was at Camp Rav in Camp Dina. This goes back like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I don't remember exactly what it was. It was the first Shabbos of the second half of the, they used to have two halves, now they have a whole different system, but and I used to speak every, you know, Shal Shudas time, they have Chvesnish, like Ebbing Zach, whatever. And they have like all comes to singing, but it's all girls. So I used to not be there during that. I used to give a men's shir. And then I'd get there, like just at the end of it, for a few minutes to tell like a story, a chizik, something, you know, powerful, emotional. One week it was very beautiful outside. So they ended up doing this all outside on the basketball court. And I'm walking down towards the basketball court. And I'm thinking, at that time, I still had a few ideas in my head what I'm going to speak about. Which story, which thing. And I decided, it was just such a beautiful moment. And like from a distance, I heard the singing, and I'm like, Shabbos. So I said, how can I not just speak about Shabbos? And I told the whole story about Shabbos and Kedusha Shabbos. I'm walking back up to get to Ma'ariv, and this little girl, she was maybe 13 years old. And she comes over, Rebekah, and I throw her back. I see tears streaming down her cheeks. And she looks at me, she's like, Rabbi, I want to tell you, you have no idea how special. I never met this girl before. I don't know who she was. It was her first Shabbos. She got to camp like 3 days before. It was the first Shabbos of the second half. She came for the second half. And she says she wants to, I just need to thank you. That was so special. I'm like, I mean, I thought it was nice, but like, come on. Like, I didn't think tear worthy, you know? I'm like, what's going on? She looks at me. She's like, I want you to know, for the past many years, I haven't kept Shabbos. Nadina is a very firm camp, and the family is Rosh Hashanah. Her family, I found later, very, very firm family. Very firm family. And this girl was struggling, and for years she told me she didn't keep Shabbos. And she came to camp, and she was surrounded by very beautiful girls, and she told me that was the first Shabbos she kept in years. And at the culmination about it, she was thinking about it, thinking, should she continue this? Not. And she gets to Shal Shudas, and she hears this powerful story about Shabbos and how Shabbos keeps us alive and Shabbos Kodesh, and she just was so blown away that that's what she was hearing about, and she was just crying, and she ended up we stayed in touch throughout the year. She was just grew so tremendously from that Shabbos, like you have no idea, the whole year just growing and growing and spreading Kedusha to her friends. And the next summer, one Friday, she comes over to me and says, Rabbi Cohen, can you do me a favor? Could you, you know, if you're going out of campus today, could you get me like some candy that I want to give out to my friends for Shabbos, a treat? I said, oh, that's so beautiful. Why this week? She's like, why? Because it's my anniversary. I've kept Shabbos for 1 year straight from that Shabbos. You hear this? but it was a springboard to such growth because that's Shabbos Kodesh. But why is it? Let's understand on a deeper level right now what's so Kodesh about Shabbos. So much. I mean, we could talk about this for the next 5 hours. But we all know famously that Mashiach can't come on Shabbos. Now, one reason is a more of a technical reason. The Drisha brings down that's based on Tchumim, actually. Have you learned this? There's a Drisha that Eliyahu and Avi can't come and be Mevaser Tov, because Eliyahu and Avi would have to come down from Shemayim. And it's a Machlokes in the Safich if there's Tchum above ten Tvachim, which is a Safich. But so based on that, it could be he can't come. So Vada, they can't be. That's a very technical, halachic reason. But the way I always understood, the Gemara in Brachos, Dafnan Zayin, tells us that Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba, and we sing it's Me'ein Olam Haba. In other words, you know why Mashiach doesn't come on Shabbos? You're already in Shabbos. Mashiach comes when we're in Golas, to take us out of Golas into Gula. But Shabbos, you're already in Gula. It's a time of Gula, you're in Gula. You don't need Mashiach, you're in Shabbos. You're in Shabbos. So Mashiach can't come on Shabbos. So that's why right after Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, after we tasted Mashiach, and we tasted it so much, we want it more than ever on Matzah Shabbos. What happens on Matzah Shabbos? We start singing Eliyahu Anavi, Eliyahu. This beautiful tefillah, because that's when we say, I need it more than ever. I just had it, I had a taste of it, I need it more than ever. That's when he could come. And that's the candle. The candle in Havdalah represents that, and it's a whole different way to look at this candle, Chevra. Everyone knows, everyone thinks about the candle of one of two reasons. Either the candle is to be mavdal by kodesh chol, right? Which the paradigm of malachos is eish. The only one of the 30 malachos that's beferish in Torah of those tavar eish b'chol moshav seichem b'leyom haShabbos. So it shows and concretizes the difference between kodesh and chol. Or the other reason is fire was created on Matzei Shabbos and give shevach l'Hashem, right? But here's another way to look at it: the candle of Matzei Shabbos. The pasuk in Tillim and Kuf Lamid Beis Yud Zayin, the pasuk says, "Shom Atzmiach, there I will cause to sprout Keren LeDavid, Arach Diner LeMashiachi, Arach Diner LeMashiachi." I've placed in order the candle for my Mashiach. In other words, the Ner represents Mashiach. The candle represents Mashiach. And maybe that's the candle of Havdalah. After going through Shabbos Kodesh, Me'ein Olam Haba, we yearn for Mashiach more than ever. We're yearning for Eliyahu Navi. And the candle that we light is the candle of Mashiach. And what do we have on top of that candle, unlike any other candle? We light candles at different times. We brought in Shabbos with a candle. We just lit candles for 8 nights straight. One time we light candles with 2 wicks. Matzah Shabbos. Suddenly it's an Avukah. Suddenly it's 2 wicks. Chanukah candles, 1 wick. Yahrzeit candle, 1 wick. Shabbos candles, 1 wick. Matzah Shabbos, 2 wicks. Matzah Shabbos, 2 wicks. Because if it's the candle of Mashiach, you need a wick for Mashiach ben David and a wick for Mashiach ben Yosef. L'mashichi, to my Mashiachus of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, to Yehuda and Yosef. And a mechazik that, and that's why, that's Yehuda shalach afanav, what's the medrash on Chumah right away get into? The candle of Matzah Shabbos. No, that's exactly it, because this is Mashiach. And it's this parasha that's talking about all of this geula. That's Yehuda shalach banav goyishlam and gematria Mashiach. What does this mean for all of us, Chevra? What does this mean? Just b'derech avoda for each of us. Because, I mean, it's beautiful Torah if you follow all the Ramazim and see what this, and hopefully what this Shabbos is going to be, a Shabbos of Geula, and maybe this week Havdalah is going to be Havdalah that's going to bring us into a week of so much Geula and so many reunions and so much Kedusha, and we have to believe in it. But I just want to end with B'derech Avoda for us, because even though Emes, I feel this Torah speaks for itself, you know, the way I am, I just can't learn without walking, listen. The Geras Ramban, which we all try to live our lives by, it says every time that you learn, when you finish learning, you have to say what Asher Tuchel Lekaima. What are you going to take away and establish, and not just learn the Torah but live the Torah? We learn Torah to live Torah. So you learn a Torah like this, what am I going to live? How am I going to, I'm going to yearn for Mashiach differently. I'm going to understand Geula differently. But I think just like there are Dalet Golios, there are four steps connected this that we need. What are the four steps? First, Yosef HaTzadik. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef. There's a Yosef which incorporates Yosef, Binyamin, Menashe, Ephraim, Yavon, Bavel, Madai, Edom, Mashitevas. What's Yosef? If I want to help bring Mashiach, you know what, I have to be like a Yosef. What's a Yosef? Hail Geshem Shmuel says that we know when Yosef was born, that's when Yaakov was willing to meet up with Esav. Based on a pasuk that Yosef is the fire that will defeat Esav. Yosef's a little baby. How's he defeating Esav? The Shem Yishmol says, you understand the essence of everything in a name. Esav is Asui. The Koyach of Esav, which is so terrible, is I'm a finished Asui. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm satiated. I'm no longer in a state of growth. Adam la'amal yulav. Avodah of every yid is to always be in a state of growth. I'm never finished growing. Yosef is Asaf, to gather, to be more. My first step is Keneged Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef means I'm always growing. I'm always growing. Doesn't matter, I'm in the Zman, I'm Bein HaZman, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I'm in Chutz La'aretz, I'm always working. If someone were to ask you, what are you working on now? There always should be something I'm working. But I don't know, I learn, I daven, but I'm growing. I'm in a state of growth. But then there's Mashiach ben David, there's Yehuda. So we have to see if it's Yosef in the name, it's Yehuda in the name. And what's Yehuda? Pa'amoides Hashem. I'm growing, but simultaneously, I'm constantly thanking Hashem for everything that I have. I'm thanking Hashem for everything that I have. And when I thank Hashem for everything I have a different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I appreciate it all. It's Yosef Michalko. I realize everything Hashem does for me more. You know what I was telling you about Binyamin Early and Jennifer Early, his mother's speech in the Shloshim. I'm still trembling every moment since Monday. I watched it Monday. Just in her opening, a few minutes in, after giving some different thank yous and sharing a little bit of a Torah, she says, all I can do is thank the Rabbona Shalom. Ein maspikim lehodat lecha Hashem Elokeinu, she says. There are no words to thank you for the chesed you've done and continue to do. This is what she said. You got to hear it from her. Not from me, from Arya Cohen's nothing. To hear from Jen Early, who lost her 21-year-old son 30 days ago, and at the Shloshim commemorating his son, starts out by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the chesed. Do you understand what Klal Yisrael is? Do you understand who this woman is? Do you understand that there are people that are above this world, that are living in this world with more amunah than we could ever imagine? And when you hear from such people, it strengthens us. I'm a different person because I heard that. And you got to watch it. You got to hear her say it. If she could thank Hashem, how am I not thanking Hashem every moment for what I have? To be a Yehuda, a Pam, to be more thankful. That's how we wake up every morning. Moda ani levanecha, the first words out of our mouth. But do we really thank Hashem constantly for all that we have? We have so much. We complain plenty. Complain about this work I have to do and that I have to be in college and that everybody what they're doing wrong and every yeshiva what they're doing wrong and everybody and Eretz Yisrael how they're doing wrong. And we complain plenty. Let's thank Hashem more. Be a Yehuda. But then it's a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. It's a Malchus David. And it's a Malchus of Yosef, Mishlo Melech. So there are four steps, I said. You have to be like a Yosef, always growing. You have to be like a Yehuda, always thinking. But you have to be a Melech, but two different Melech. There's a Malchus ben David, Malchus ben Yosef. One Melech is to be a Melech of oneself. What that means is to be in control of oneself. So much of the issues we have with our taivas is we're out of control. We don't have self-control. To be a melech means I'm a king. I rule over myself. I don't let the Yetzer Hara get the best of me. That's the biggest yesod I always felt in fasting. To fast day now. I always felt the biggest yesod is self-control. A lot of people have a hard time relating to what the whole concept of the fast is. Why is my fasting going to help me get closer to God? If anything, I'm just not as happy and I'm a little bit tired and I don't feel as good, I don't daven as well, I don't learn as well. You know what a fast does? It takes our most basic necessity, things we're all used to, and says don't have it for a day. You know what it does? It forces me to exercise self-control. And if I exercise self-control on this day, it will have an effect on the rest of my life in self-control. It's the biggest impetus to tshuva, self-control. To be a melech means I'm in charge. I'm the melech. But a melech also means I have a kingdom, and it means I'm taking care of others. I'm being there for others. I'm watching over others. I'm empathetic. I'm caring. I'm doing. I'm being there for others. I think those are the four steps of Mashiach. It's Yosef, always growing. It's Yehuda, always thinking. And it's being two different malchios. The melech over myself and self-control, and the melech being there for others. Then we'll be Zoycha. Then we'll be Zoycha that Yosef and Binyamin, Yosef and Yehuda will meet up. Ves Yehuda shalach fan of Goishna to bring Mashiach. Ve'yigash elav Yehuda. I'll just end with the final words in her speech, the powerful words of Jen Ehrli as well. She ended her speech speaking about Ve'yigash, not in parashas Ve'yigash. She said, Ve'yigash elav Yehuda. The Yehudim, we're coming. And what happens later? The Pasuk says, when the brothers are there, by Yosef Atzadik, v'lo yachal Yosef l'sapik, Yosef could no longer hold himself back. Parts of Vayigash elav Yehuda, v'lo yachal Yosef l'sapik. So too, Jen said to the Eibishter, Vayigash elav Yehuda, Eibishter, the Yehudim are coming to you, we're davening, we're doing, we're yearning, v'lo yachal l'sapik. Time to no longer hold back. To bring us Mashiach ben David, to bring us Mashiach ben Yosef, to bring the Gula Shleima, to take away all the pain, all the suffering, all the darkness, all the tznister, and be rejoicing with Tanting, with Binyamin, and all the beautiful Chayalim, and all the beautiful Kedoshim that were taken throughout all of our history, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Gula Shleima, b'mheir b'meinu, b'karav mamash.
Amen.